appreciate the encouraging testimonies and your singing this evening. And we want to take some time here to turn our thinking to the cross of the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke 23:33. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And if you need a Bible, there are some Bibles in the pew racks in front of you. And in the Pew Bible, this would be on page 1480. So I'm going to read here. You follow along in Luke 23, starting in verse 33. We'll read down through verse 46. It says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, and Hebrew, and it read, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Folks, that's what we are gathered together tonight to remember. You know, our purpose for our observance of the Lord's Supper is to remember him and to remember the price that Jesus paid so that our sins might be forgiven. I want you to turn back just one chapter to Luke 22. I want to read here where Jesus himself taught his disciples, and Paul extends that to the church, taught us to remember him. Luke 22, let's read starting in verse 14. This describes that last supper, that last Passover observance. Luke writes this, he says, When the hour was come, he, that is Jesus, sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup. He gave thanks and he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now folks, we speak of remembering Jesus' death. And certainly that is something that we are to do as we observe the Lord's table. But more importantly, we remember Him. If you think about what He said there, He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." And so tonight we remember Jesus' death. We remember His body broken. We remember His blood shed. But we remember more than His death. We remember Him, and we remember His resurrection. The songwriter has said, "Death could not keep her prey. You know, the grave couldn't hold Him." And so what we do at the Lord's table is not kind of a funeral dirge time. Yes, it's a memorial time when we remember Christ's body broken for us. We remember His blood shed for us. We remember with rejoicing His sacrifice for us. But we also remember that He rose again and that He's coming again. You know, we often read in 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul gives what is sometimes referred to as the words of institution. At the end of that, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." You know, it's a reminder to us, as much as when we observe the Lord's table, as much as we are remembering His death, we're also remembering His life. We're also remembering His resurrection. We're also remembering that He is coming again. Now, if you think about Jesus' last meeting there with the disciples, the book of John, the Gospel of John, gives us an extended discourse that He had with His disciples in the upper room. And He teaches them that very thing. He reminds them that though, yes, His death is coming, yes, He is departing, but He's going to come again for them. In John 14, He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you." He says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So folks, this indeed is a memorial time, but it's also a celebration time when we rejoice that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. We rejoice that He lives. Some of you maybe grew up or maybe even spent some of your adult lives in a religious tradition akin to the way that my wife and I grew up. And in those settings, the observance of communion or the Lord's table has a certain kind of sacramental aspect to it. And there's a sense in which it's almost as if that time is not just a memorial time, but it's kind of an ongoing sacrifice. And churches like that oftentimes have an altar up front. The church I grew up in, there would be kind of near the front wall there, and there's no baptistry, but there was an altar. And the elements of the Lord's table would be placed on that altar. And the pastor, or in some traditions they would call him a priest, would go stand behind that altar. And there was just kind of this overtone of there's another sacrifice, an ongoing sacrifice. Folks, Jesus paid it all. You know, He said it is finished. He paid that sacrifice completely and fully. And what we do now is not come to an altar to relive His death, but we come to a table to celebrate His life and what He has done for us. Our observance tonight is the Lord's table. It's not the Lord's altar. When Jesus instituted this observance, it was at a table. If you still have your Bible open there to Luke 22, we stop reading at verse 20, but the very next verse speaks of Judas' hand being on the table. A few verses later in verse 30, He's talking about the day coming when they'll eat and drink together again at His table in His kingdom. So our communion service, our observance tonight is not the Lord's altar, but it's the Lord's table. And let me just briefly make three observations about that. You know, an altar is a place of death. A table is a place of life. When we observe the Lord's table, yes, we do remember the Lord's death through the elements that we share, through the bread and through the cup. But we also are mindful through it all that though He died, He rose again, and He gives us eternal life. We're just reminding ourselves of the price that was paid so that we could have that eternal life. And you think about a funeral service for a Christian. Yes, we're sobered, and we remember the death of that person, but we also remember his or her life. And we rejoice in the fact that he's in the presence of the Lord in heaven. It's likewise when we observe the Lord's table. We're sobered by the reality of Christ's sacrifice and his death. But we also rejoice that he came. We rejoice that he rose. We rejoice that he ever lives. We rejoice that he's coming again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. So this isn't a place of death, but it's a place of life. Second, an altar is the place of salvation. A table is a place of consecration. This isn't a sacrament. This isn't something that we do that adds to or contributes to our salvation or keeps us saved. It's not something that without which we can't be saved. It's something that we who have trusted Christ come to and enjoy the fellowship together. And it's a time when we kind of refocus our lives and our attention on Christ and living for Him. And we remind ourselves, we need to examine ourselves. We need to think about how we have been living. And think about the closeness of our walk with Him. And try to address those things just as a time of pause and remembrance. Grateful for what Christ has done. And thinking of how now we ought to live for Him. So while an altar is a place of salvation, this table is a time of consecration. And finally, an altar is a place of separation. A table is a place of communion. It's a place of fellowship. When you think about the Old Testament altars upon which sacrifices were offered, an altar is a place where sin has to be dealt with. An altar is something designed to appease the wrath of God towards sin. It's something that points out that God is holy and we are not, and there's a gulf of separation between us that has to be bridged. But thankfully, Jesus has already bridged that gap. He's already paid the penalty. He's already shed His blood. He's already given the sacrifice. And it's been all dealt with, such that if we are trusting in Him, now it's a time of communion. It's a time of fellowship. Fellowship among believers. Fellowship among believers who have within each of us the indwelling Christ, the indwelling Spirit to God. And so we enjoy this meal, if you will, together with one another and with Him. The table of communion isn't a place where sin is paid for yet again. That's all done. It isn't there to remind us of our sin such that we're thinking, well, more has to be paid, more has to be done. It's a place where we're invited to freely come and sit and dine together, rejoicing in our shared relationship with the Lord Jesus. And it pictures for us that coming day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we'll sit together with all the redeemed in His presence in a great celebration of the eternal life that He has given. So folks, we don't come to an altar for the Lord's Supper. We come to a table. The old gospel song says this, "Come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine." Folks, we are called to a fellowship meal tonight where we remember Christ's body broken for us. We remember His blood shed for us. But we also remember His glorious resurrection. And we rejoice in that perfect and complete hope that He is coming again. And it's a time when we, from thankful hearts, just reach out to Him and thank Him for saving us and for making us His child. And let me just say, maybe you're here tonight and you've never had that point in your life where you came to realize that, you know what, we're not born children of God. We're not born saved. It doesn't just kind of happen just going along with the flow. Salvation, being born again, is a time when we realize I'm a sinner before a holy God. And the wages of my sin is death. What I deserve is separation from God and punishment. And in that sense, there's a need for an altar. And that altar happened at the cross when Jesus gave Himself and shed His blood and paid the penalty, died there on the cross in my place, in your place. And being saved is a time when we come to realize that. And we turn to Jesus and we say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Like that malefactor we read about. He said, I deserve my condemnation, but this one, this man, and not just a man, the Son of God, he's done nothing amiss. And he looked to him and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And at that instant, I believe he was gloriously saved. And God says, verily, truly, I say to you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you're here tonight, never having trusted in Christ, you can do that right now at this moment. And God says to you, truly I say unto you, today you can be with me in paradise. Eating these little wafers doesn't save us. Drinking a small cup of juice doesn't save us. Trusting in what Christ has accomplished and done and completed on the cross, realizing that that is our only hope, that is the only way of salvation, and just calling out to Him in faith. That's what saves us. And if you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, in that way, as the Bible describes, then this is a table in which you are invited to participate. It's not a sacrament, but a time of remembrance. It's a time for us to be thankful that He has saved us. So in a minute, Jeff's going to come and we're going to sing a song. But you know, if you have questions about that, if you come and let us know. We'd love to have someone answer questions you may have. Show you from the Bible how you can know that for sure. How you can be certain that you are a child of God, that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life. For those of us who know Him, then the Bible calls upon us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, Verse 28, he says, as we prepare to partake, he says, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he's using there a euphemism. There are even those whose lives, their earthly lives have been taken because of the unworthy eating. Because of taking lightly what we do tonight. So it's a serious time, but it's also a time of rejoicing. It's a time of thankfulness for what Christ has done. Let me encourage parents, if you would help your children in terms of knowing whether they are ready to participate or not, if they know the Lord is their Savior, if they understand what we're doing, it's usually a wise thing for them to have realized the need to be baptized. Not that that saves you either. But as a testimony that there's a reality that we've trusted Christ as our Savior. But the fact is, for believers who know Him and understand what we are doing here, this is a time for us to fellowship together. And you know, Paul's admonition there, his point isn't to exclude. His point is to call upon us to just pause and ask God, the one who searches and knows, the one who knows, you know, our hearts better than we, to reveal to us things that perhaps we need to deal with before Him. And John tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to have a few moments here, and I would just encourage each of us to pause and just ask God to show us if there's things that we're hanging on to that we need to let go of. If there are things that have gotten between, you know, my soul and my Savior that need to be dealt with. If there's aught with a brother or sister in Christ that needs to be reconciled, whatever it might be, as God brings that to our remembrance, we just need to confess it. And He forgives. And He cleanses. And then we can, in good conscience, in the freedom of spirit, participate here this evening together in the Lord's table. So that's the point. It's not that people feel like, oh, I can't, but rather that we would consider our own souls and let God reveal and confess and then participate together and enjoy that sweet fellowship, remembering not only the Lord's death, but His life and His resurrection as well. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for a moment, if you would.